We've been talking about, and kind of just was placed on my heart, the study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because it's interesting that Paul begins a section on that saying, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit. And I find that much of Christendom is kind of, unfortunately, we're very confused about this. And so, and plus, you guys, honestly, in the culture that we are living in right now, with the difficulties that we are seeing, with the pressures that are upon us, we need to know what the gifts of the Spirit are. Because I'm telling you right now, to do the work of ministry, we need them. And so Paul is teaching about the gifts in chapter 12 right here where you have opened your Bibles up to. And so we learned last week as we began or kind of set the stage for it that the gifts are tools to work with for the purpose of ministry. So why do I say that or emphasize that? Because they're not toys to play with. They're not spiritual muscles that we can walk around flexing, trying to impress others with our great abilities. That is not what the gifts are for. They are for the purpose of building up and helping within the body of Christ. We learn that there are many different ministries, and everyone has a ministry. Each of us are uniquely created and designed by God, and so when he gives a gift for your ministry, it's going to be seen in a different way. And so just because you may have the gift of teaching and someone else may have the same gift, it's going to be seen in a different fashion depending on how God wants to use you and in the place that you are doing your ministry. So all of us have the gifts that are available. Now, we're going to focus 1 Corinthians 12 focuses primarily on what we will call the supernatural gifts. So what I mean by that are these are God-given, God-used, God-designed gifts for God-designed moments, divine appointments, if you will. There are natural gifts, and we'll talk about those in a couple of weeks. For instance, you may be a school teacher, and you have the ability to teach. But then taking that gift, or a musician like these guys are, but you may have used that gift in the world out there, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work in the body of Christ. So we need to be filled with his Spirit to be able to use the gift, a natural gift that you may have. You may be an organized person. You may be good at bookkeeping. But then how does that fit in the body of Christ? So when you're doing and using your natural gift, man, oh man, we need the supernatural gifts to work along with that. But here's the deal. I believe that the Bible teaches that in order to enjoy the supernatural gifts, one thing must precede that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, to be filled with the Spirit is to be saved. That's when you say, Jesus, come into my life. At that moment, you're saved. But he told his disciples to wait for another, if you will, dynamic of the same Spirit, and that is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When that happens, it's like God unlocks the door to the supernatural gifts. And so if you've never been baptized in the Spirit, I want to encourage you, just ask him. I mean, Jesus said to ask there in Matthew, I believe it's in, or Luke 11, I think it is, where he said, hey, just ask. God wants to give you the Holy Spirit in full. And so if you've never received the baptism, I encourage you to ask for it, and you will begin to see these gifts. And primarily, the gift of agape love will start happening right away. And so, remember this also. These aren't things that are like these reservoirs you can just tap into whenever you want. Oh, let's see, I need a miracle today, so I'm just going to get one right now. These, you have to understand, the Spirit of God knows what it is that you need in a given situation for a specific purpose or person. So he's the giver of the gifts. We are kind of like the conduit, although sometimes we're the recipient. We're the conduit of which his gifts flow. But understand, we can say, I'm not going to do it. We can withhold that. And I want to tell you, you know, be careful not to do that. Because if you do, and you do that over and over, sometimes, just like in exercising or in any other kind of talent that you may have, if you don't use it, it kind of dries up. You know what I'm saying? For me, I'll tell you, I used to play these. Now, I didn't play them for a long, many, many years. And it's like God took that gift and he kind of put it on a shelf and said, okay, if you're not going to exercise it, it will atrophy. So now when I get on that instrument, when you're not here, but the band is, it's an amazing thing. I have lost my rhythm. This white boy has no rhythm anymore, you see? And so if God is giving you something, I encourage you, use that, exercise that so that it doesn't get put on the shelf. So important that we understand that some of us might have, and it's very possible that you may have one gift that dominates, if you will, one that you see in action more than maybe some of the other ones. And there's a reason for that. I'll show you here in just a minute. But they're for the building up of the body. They're not for personal enjoyment, although you get enjoyment being used by God. But they're not to draw attention to us. They're for the purpose of saying, God, you want to use me to minister to someone. I want that. I want to be available for that. And so sometimes you may be aware that it's happening. Sometimes, and I would say probably most of the time, we're not aware that it's happening. And I prefer it that way. And we'll talk about that also. So God needs people of action, so I want to encourage you, exercise and be available for and pray and ask for all of the gifts that God has to be seen in and through your life. So with that said, let's take a look. We're going to see 9, and we're going to read through it. We're not going to finish them all today, but there are 9 supernatural gifts mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12. So we left off at verse 8. We hit one of them last week, the word of wisdom. So let's start there again. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For to one is given, number one, you might want to highlight these or circle them or whatever, or number them. Number one, the word of wisdom. Now watch this. Through the, what? Spirit. So it's something from the Spirit. To another, number two, the word of knowledge. Through the same Spirit. To another, number three, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, notice this one, number four, gifts of healings, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of those tongues. So that's 7, 8, and 9. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to only the super spiritual ones. Is that what yours says? Distributing to who? Each one. You know what? You read that with me. Distributing to individually as he wills. So are you, let me ask you guys a question, are you an each one? I think you fall into that category. You're in each one, okay? So then, let's talk about that. It means that everybody, he will give these as you're available, you make yourself available, you're saying, Lord, I need, he will bring these about in your life. So let's take a look at these. And remember, these are kind of like the operations of the gifts for ministry, and Jesus had all of them. And I'll try to give you examples of where he used them. But I want you to pray for these. I want you to ask God for this. Ask him, Lord, if there is something you have for me, and if it's called the baptism of the Spirit, and I have not experienced that, Lord, I want that. If it will make me a better tool in your toolbox, so to speak, it will make me a better, you know, person for the work of ministry, then I need that. I want that. So we talked about the word of wisdom last week. So let's skip that one. If you weren't here, you can listen to it online. And let's move to the word of knowledge. So do you see that? Number two, the word of knowledge. That's the second gift. Just like right now, I think I heard a phone. Did you catch that? Okay. So check your phones, guys. So what is the word of knowledge? Check it out. A word of knowledge is, very simply put, it is something spoken, either you speak it, or it might be spoken to you, that only God knows. There is no human way that you could have known about it, okay? Is it off yet? Okay. We might have to help. Are you guys, okay, come back to me now. So here's what happens, okay? The word of knowledge, a word that only God could know, he puts it into your mind, and he asks you to speak it to someone. You may or may not know that it's a word of knowledge. Power down. Okay. Look at, I'm dealing with phones and ants from my little flowers up here today. So that ant is gone. I told the people in first service, no ants were hurt in the delivering of this Bible study, okay? So in other words, see how Satan doesn't want us to talk about the gifts of the Spirit? Isn't that a trip? Okay, you share something, and it usually strikes the target to where the person goes, how did you know? How did you know that? Usually the response is, well, I didn't know. But God just kind of put that upon my heart to share it with you. Now, it's an amazing thing that, you know, it can, I think oftentimes it confirms the love of God. You guys all know our little gal, Carol Richard, who passed away, last month. That girl, that was one of the dominant gifts that God had given to her. And she was crazy. She was crazy. We talked about it at her memorial service. She was crazy enough to just do and to use that gift. God would put something on her heart. She would walk up and speak it to people. There were times that she was scared, but she didn't care. She would say, you know what? The Lord told me to, you know, put something on my heart. I want to share it with you. How many of you, just out of curiosity, did Carol either speak something to you or give something to you? Let me see you guys' hands. Look at that, you guys. You see that? First service, it was even more. So that girl, that shows you how crazy she was. She was just saying, hey, I'll share it with you. I am a recipient of that. I shared it at her memorial service, but many of you probably weren't there. So years, maybe, you know, some of you may be aware that I had this crazy disease called ulcerative colitis. And I battled it for 7 years. And so it came finally in the eighth year, it came to the place where my doctor calls me up, and normally we would be doing just phone messages. He'd send me an email, or I'd call him up, he'd adjust something or whatever. Most of the time, I never went into the office. And so I get this call saying, Rob, I want to talk to you. I want you to come in. So we set up an appointment. So I'm thinking, oh, no big deal, so I didn't bring Mari with me. So I go into the office, and this time he says to me, Rob, you have a problem here. I am giving you the maximum amount of immunosuppressants that I can give to someone and not, you know, literally put you into, you know, sickness all the time. Your pain is so intense. You're living on pain medication. I can't give you any more. I can't give you any more. That I was living on, you know, steroids. I don't know if you guys, not the weightlifting ones, or that would be kind of cool, actually, but not those, okay? Prednisone, if you've ever had to take prednisone. So I'm living on that stuff. My cheeks, I look like, you know, a chipmunk. And so he says, you cannot live on this stuff. So here's what he said. He goes, I'm warning you, because he'd been trying to talk me into having this surgery where they completely remove the entire colon, called J-pouch surgery. Crazy, I'll tell you about that on another day. But it's the removal of the colon. I mean, this is a major surgery. I mean, literally, you get gutted like a fish, okay? And so he says, if you don't do this surgery, I'm warning you, you are a colon cancer patient just waiting to happen. And it's not a matter of if you get cancer, it's a matter of when. And then I'm going to be doing the same surgery, only then we're going to be doing chemotherapy and we're going to be treating you for cancer also, and the complication will be huge. So he says, you need to make a decision. Well, let me tell you, when your doctor calls you in to his office and you're thinking, uh-oh, you know, it's kind of like going to the principal's office or when I call you into my office, you know, now I know how you guys freak out all the time. So, I mean, literally, now understand this. Just because, you know, I'm your pastor, just because pastors understand, Satan messes with our head too. You're not the only ones that get that happens to. You know, it's not like, well, Satan's really messing with my head, giving me crazy thoughts. But Rob, that doesn't happen to you because you're the pastor. Oh, yeah? Probably more so, okay? So on the drive home, Satan just whispers into my ear as he does yours. So you better start getting rid of stuff. You better get your affairs in order. Now, he never said anything about I'm dying, but I started to sense that in my own mind. I'm not going to see my kid's daughter get married. I'll never have a grandkid. You know, all the won't get to see, you know, my wife will be rich. I can see it now. The moment I tell her, she says, well, we just sign that life insurance policy just to make sure it's all done, you know. And so all of these things are rolling through my mind, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, man, this. And so you know what I'm talking about? When the enemy messes with your head and you start having these crazy thoughts, and I know 2 Corinthians 10:5 that says, take every thought captive, bring it to the obedience of Christ. And I'm trying, I'm applying what I know I'm saying, but he didn't say I'm gonna die. And all this wrestling match goes on. So I came home, I didn't say a word to Mari. Not a word. I didn't tell anybody. It was just inside. A wrestling match went on. Well, move forward. I think it was maybe just a couple of days. I think that was like on Friday or a Thursday or a Friday, something like that. And Sunday comes around. And so we had our upper room that night. And Carol comes in and God tells her, Carol, I want you to share this with Rob. Well, she freaked a little bit. She panicked. The only reason that she said she did is she goes, how do you give something like that to your pastor? And so anyway, she left. She got home, and the Lord was pressing upon her heart. Even Tom told me in first service, you better go back and give it to him. So she comes back, and she didn't even give it to me. She was still too scared to give it to me. She gave it to Mari. And so what she gave her was this little handwritten note, torn off a little piece of paper. And on it is written this, Pastor Rob, God says to sit in the middle of Psalm 91 and munch on it. Is that Carol or what? Okay. And then she puts, especially verses 14 through 16. So she gives this to Mari. We get home that night. Mari gives, oh, by the way, I've got something. Carol wanted me to give this to you. So she gives it to me. I open it up. I read it. And I think, well, that's interesting. I wonder what it says. So I open up my Bible, and I will read it to you. This is what the tail end of it says, where she told me to sit in that. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in times of trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now listen, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I'm thinking about my life should be short. And God comes in and says, Rob, I got you. I got plenty of life left for you. Do you understand? How does she know? She didn't know. That's the word of knowledge. That's how it works. When someone, without any understanding, I started bawling my eyes out, right? I start crying. Mari goes, what? What's the matter? What's the matter? You know, she's looking at the paper, you know, to see what it says. Like, if you know, and Judas went and hung himself or something. You know, I mean, She's probably thinking that it said that, you know. And then on the other side, what you do quickly. You know, she was like, what does it say? What does it say? And so then I sat down. I said, Mari, I need to tell you something. Dr. Feidelberg told me this. And I honestly thought I was, you know, I thought my life was going to be short. I thought I was done. You know, I was ready to start giving stuff away. And so do you understand that message to me? This is what happens when that gift is exercised. I knew God had not left me. I knew he will never forsake me, but I was not listening. And so God in his love for me spoke to someone else who had the willingness and the ability to have the gift of the word of knowledge, who wrote something down. And listen, she didn't write it on a scroll to open up. It was a torn up piece of paper. Who then said, I want you to give it to Rob. She finally did it. It kind of came to me through my wife. But it was a message that God said, Rob, I've got you. I love you. It's going to be all right. I want you to see it. To see how God works through some kind of crazy thing where he has to tell somebody else to tell him. That's amazing, don't you think? So that's the word of knowledge. That's how that gift works. That's kind of, if you will, what it looks like. So sometimes it might be like that one. Sometimes, and oftentimes, it's the revealing of a secret or hidden things, or what we might try to keep secret. Do you think you can keep a secret from God? He knows everything. He knows all things. We can't hide things from God. I wasn't really trying to hide that one from God. Sometimes we try to hide sin from God. Sometimes we might try to hide even our deepest desires, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. Sometimes it could be just our greatest, deepest desire. Lord, I'm so tired of being alone. Lord, do you have a man for me? Lord, do you have a woman for me? I don't want to be single for the rest of my life. I want companionship. And out of nowhere, somebody comes walking up to you, and this is a desire that's burning in your own heart. And they say, you know, I don't know what if this means anything to you, but I believe that the Lord told me. And I always preface it with, I believe the Lord said. I've never, you know, thus saith the Lord. You know, that's what gets too weird for me, okay? But I believe the Lord wanted me to tell you that he's got a man for you, and you just need to be patient. And that person just... I was just praying for that. How did you know? It was just something I believe God wanted me to. Have you ever seen it? It's an amazing gift. It's awesome when you see it working. So sometimes it can be bad. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's exposing sin. Maybe sometimes it's even neutral. But oftentimes, it's this. We try to keep secret. Listen, Psalm 44:21 says, shall not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Do you remember? I'll give you another illustration. Remember in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Freaks him out. He calls all of his spiritual guys and all of his leaders in, and he says, I had a dream last night. You tell me what the dream is and the interpretation. These guys panic. Well, you got to tell us what the dream is. How can we know what the dream is? We'll tell you the interpretation. He goes, nah. If you guys are as good as you say you are, you tell me what the dream is too. Well, they said, we can't do that. He goes, okay, kill all of them. So an order goes out to start killing these guys. Well, Daniel hears about it, and he says, time out, king, because Daniel was one of his guys also. And he says, tell you what, king, give me a little bit of time. Let me pray, and I'll bring something to you. And in Daniel chapter 2, he begins to tell King Nebuchadnezzar about his dream. And listen to how it begins. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. So in other words, you can't keep secrets from God. So he then goes on to tell him what the dream was and the interpretation. That's the word of knowledge in action. That's how it works. So it's amazing. I have found that probably more often times than not, the gifts kind of work together. And through one of the ministries of the teaching of the word, the gift of the word of knowledge works. And oftentimes you're not even aware of it. Because we kind of talked about this last week, that as we're going through a Bible study or as you're doing your devotion or you're listening to somebody on the radio, and all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, that was just what I needed to hear. That's so crazy. You know, we've actually had people here, they bring friends, and they get outside and they say, that's it, I'm never going back there again. Why? You told him what's going on in my life. You told your pastor. I am so embarrassed. He was looking right at me the whole time. It's happened to you. In fact, I had several people come up after the service, the first service, and say, that is unbelievable. You were talking right to me. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your life, in spite of the fact that I have cameras and microphones in your houses. Okay, I don't know. But God knows. And so sometimes, supernaturally, you will say something. You're sharing your devotion with the person at work, and you're going, oh, I'm just so excited, I want to tell you this. And they go, wow, that's radical. That is exactly what I needed to hear. Oftentimes, supernatural things happen in a very natural way. It's the people that mess it up, the people that touch it, the people that want to use it to draw attention to themselves. Those are the ones that ruin this. When they say, thus saith the Lord, thou hast been in a dire strait. And you say, do you normally speak in King James language? No, but only when I give words of knowledge. See, what does that do? What that does is it takes the attention off of what God is doing, and I want to use it to impress you with my great King James speech. And you taint the gift. And unfortunately, I think that the people that have ruined or tainted or touched these gifts have ruined it for much of the body of Christ. Because we look at that and say, that's weird. Well, I don't want nothing to do with it then if that's what it's all about. You know, so man, it's an amazing thing to watch God just supernaturally speak through people in a very natural way. And so, you know, sometimes, as for me, it was a Bible verse. Honestly, I think that sometimes is the most powerful, because God puts a verse on someone's heart. You take the Word of God, you open it up, it's alive, you read that verse, and it's bam, black and white. God speaking, I love you, I've got you, I'm watching out for you. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's maybe just, hey, the Lord wanted me to share this with you. You know, I knew a guy that, you know, told me that he had a friend that you know, he's sitting there talking. He's just talking with the guy, and all of a sudden he goes, you're cheating on your wife, aren't you? Out of nowhere. Just blurts it out, right? And then he's even himself thinking, oh my gosh, what did I just say? And the guy starts crying. How did you know? Well, honestly, I didn't know, but obviously you are. And so it led to a whole different direction. Another friend of mine, she said, she tells another guy, you know what? I believe that your secretary is stealing money out of your account. And sure enough, he went home. He checked into it. Sure enough, that's exactly what was happening. Word of knowledge. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not good. Sometimes it exposes. Sometimes it's just to encourage. For all reasons, it's an amazingly beautiful gift. Do you remember when Jesus, in John chapter 4, he sits down at the well in Samaria? And this girl comes out. We call her the Samaritan woman. We don't even know her name. We have to get to heaven and find out what her name is. So all of a sudden, she comes out. Jesus had a divine appointment just for her. He's waiting for her. She comes walking up, sits down. He goes, and he says, can you get me a drink? And he enters into a conversation. Now watch this. In John chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus said to her, I tell you what, why don't you go call your husband and come back? And the girl says to him, well, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you have answered well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the man that you're with right now is not your husband. So in that you spoke truly. You're living with a guy right now. Word of knowledge. God given into the heart of Jesus Christ, who is God, but he speaks forth something. She's, even though her city may know about it, or people or friends may know about it, Jesus had no idea. If you will, she knew that. And you know what her response was? Wow, I perceive that you are a prophet. She realized, there's no other way that you could know something like that. God's revealed it to you. Amazingly enough, that girl goes back into town and a revival breaks out because of the exercise of the gift of the word of knowledge. Jesus was then able to teach her the truth of his word and the truth of scripture, talked about worship, and the girl goes home and a revival breaks out in Samaria. So it's an amazing gift. I encourage you. I can promise you, some of you have been stirred. All of a sudden, you're feeling like, I think I'm supposed to go tell this person something. I'm supposed to go give them this verse. And you know what happens? Most of us, we're so afraid, we don't do it. That's what made Carol so radical. Most of us, we don't do it. We think, oh man, they're going to think I'm stupid. They're going to think I'm weird. What if it doesn't fit? And we let Satan win the battle of our own mind rather than just taking the chance and going for it. I want to encourage you, pray for that gift. Listen to me. With Carol not being around, I needed that. She left a hole in our fellowship. So maybe God's stirring you and he's giving you something. And I encourage you, pray for it. Ask God, okay, Lord, maybe you might need to say, okay, but I need another gift, Lord, to go along with that. That's what the next one is. It's called the gift of faith. That's the next one. You see it in line, okay? The gift of faith. Verse 9, to another, faith, or the gift of faith. It's listed with the gifts. Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me define or clear something up. This is not, or this is different from, what we will call saving faith. That means that the day that somebody said, Jesus died for you, and he wants you to put your faith in him. And that moment we say, I believe that. By faith, I accept what he has done on my behalf. That is the gift of faith that leads to salvation. Okay? We are told, you know, Paul clears that up in Ephesians 2. Remember what he says? For by grace you have been saved through. So God's grace saves us, but faith is what reaches out and grabs a hold of it. Our faith. So it is that is the gift of God to be saved. Now, once a person's saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith comes in. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that it took faith, a gift of faith, a supernatural ability to do something you would not normally do? Do you think it would take that kind of faith to scribble a passage on a torn off piece of paper and give it to your pastor? It takes faith, doesn't it? You need that gift. Working together with the word of knowledge makes that gift happen, you see? So these two kind of work together. It's a supernatural working of faith where you or I are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do something radical, something you would not normally do. Does that make sense? Let me give you an illustration. John and Jackie Rogers, who John is the pastor of Armor of Light, of which we do all of the Pendleton stuff, okay? They believe, Jackie came to John and said, I believe that God wants us to do a couples retreat for the Marine Corps kids. So here's how it went. And I need to share this with you because sometimes we struggle. So here's what happens. John says, okay. So she puts together an email, and there are several platoons that they work with. You know, we work with the Atlas, the 303. Each one of these platoons have what they call a FRO, a Family Readiness Officer. It's a civilian job. It's a liaison between the Marine Corps and the civilian world. So they sent out an email to all the FROs, who then in turn put it out to all of the different Marines in their different platoons. So she says, okay, I'm going to send it out. They picked a date by faith. They had no idea who would come. It was something God burdened on their heart. They went to Pastor Chuck. They go to Calvary Costa Mesa. And he said, Chuck, we want to make this available for free to the Marines. So by faith, John got up on a Sunday morning, one Sunday morning service, and said, you guys, this is what God's put on our hearts. God birthed it upon Jackie. And by faith, I'm presenting it to you. That one service, people donated enough of their finances to send 50 Marine couples to this retreat at Murrieta Hot Springs. So by faith, they took a step. They said, oh, this is scary. But God gave them the gift. Then they put this thing together. Now listen, this retreat that Mari and I went to, they didn't know how many of them were believers. How many of them were non-believers. They had no idea. You know, they didn't have a little questionnaire that they filled out. So when these couples came, there was big discussion of, okay, what do we do? We've never done one like this before with the potential of having non-believers. You don't just crack open your Bible and say, let's turn to Psalm chapter 10. You don't bring in a Christian worship leader. If you got non-believers, they don't know what worship is. You follow me? So this thing was all just them two guys just taking one step of faith after the next. So much so, there was no real plan for the whole weekend. Now that freaks me out. I like to have notes. I like to know where we're going, who's first, who's second, you know, give me an idea. I like things a little more tidy than that, you know. So God was stretching me, saying, Rob, you got to think outside the box. The gift of faith thinks outside the box of my comfort zone. So here's the deal. We knew we were supposed to do something this weekend. Mari was a little panicked too. She said, well, Rob, what are we supposed to do? And I said, I don't know. And she said, well, you have to know something. I know nothing. To quote Sergeant Schultz, you know. So we get there, and what was supposed to happen Friday night didn't. So we know the next day we're supposed to do something. Don't know what. 6:30 in the morning, my phone rings. John then says, Rob, here's what I want you to do at 9 o'clock. A couple hours later, you and Mari are going to share your story. I want Mari to share hers. I want you then to talk about biblical forgiveness. That's at 9 o'clock. I get the message at 6:30. We're going, okay. Then we get into to the meeting, and John stops us, and he goes, you know what? Give me and Jackie 10 minutes. We're going to go up and share our story first. I'm going, okay. So he goes up. 45 minutes later, they're wrapping it up. And then out of nowhere, it's almost like he just stops. He goes, so Rob, Mari, why don't you guys come on up and tell your story? I look at these people. They're looking at, I mean, they just heard the story of amazing testimony of these two couples. They're all looking at us like. So I said, you know what? Why don't you guys stand up for a minute? You've been sitting for the last 45 minutes to an hour. They all stood up. John comes over and he goes, why don't you just take a break right now? Let's call it a 15-minute break. That's how this weekend went, you guys. It took faith. Steps of faith. The gift of faith given to John and Jackie. Gift of faith given to Mari and I to stand up there and tell a story with a lesson, you know, about an hour's worth of prep time. And yet, we got to watch God do an amazing, miraculous weekend where people got saved, marriages were recommitted, everything. God does beautiful stuff when we let him use us. But sometimes he says, I need you outside the box, Rob. You like it nice and comfortable and tidy. The gift of faith says, oh, no, you don't. Let's step outside. Sometimes we need that gift. If we're going to walk up and say, you know, I believe the Lord wants me to tell you something, you need the gift of faith. I think oftentimes, when we see it throughout Scripture, you know, it's usually connected to the gift of healing, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But let me share something with you here also. You cannot use this gift to promote yourself. You can't use this to say, I can use it whenever I want, however I want, because it's going to be something that will make me look good. Listen, you try that, you're going to end up looking very foolish. Now, I have seen, maybe if you will, in a different way where the gift of faith is enacted that maybe you have experienced. Maybe you haven't seen one of those. But maybe out of nowhere, all of a sudden, someone, God puts it upon your heart and he says, you know, you need to forgive that person and release them. And you're going, no, no, they hurt me. Maybe it's even someone from your own childhood. And I know that sometimes when someone hurts us when we're kids, we hold on to that unforgiveness. It kind of comes in a roundabout weird way. It's kind of our little protection. It's security. My bitterness becomes my own security. Isn't that strange? And out of the blue, God says, it's time to forgive. And you go, that's a little outside my box. But then you have to say, Lord, this is when you pray and say, God, I need the gift of faith because right now I really don't want to. I'm scared. This is a panic mode. And God then gives you the ability to say, I forgive. Then maybe he even says, now go talk to that person to tell them. Sometimes it's people that are already in the grave. I don't know, but sometimes you see the gift of faith when it comes time you need to apologize to someone for your behavior. But they were wrong too, Lord. I know, but I want you to apologize for your personal part of this. But give me a gift of faith, Lord, and I'll go do it. But anyway, it's an amazing gift. Jesus did it all the time. Everywhere, every miracle he did, it was an amazing thing. I'll tell you one of the ones. Remember Peter and John? After Jesus has already ascended into heaven, they walk through the beautiful gate leading into the temple. Remember there's a guy sitting there begging. And Peter and John walk up to him and say, silver and gold have we none, but what we do have, we say to you right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And it worked with the gift of healing. And they picked the dude up, and he starts his legs, it says his ankles strengthened, and he started dancing around. Now listen, if you're going to do something like that, you better have the gift of healings. I mean, the gift of faith, man. You know what I'm saying? Because if not, you pull a guy up and he falls over on his face and you're standing there going, well, I thought it was the Lord. You know, so you better make sure you know. The guy's sitting there saying, what's your attorney's name? You know, amazing. If you're going to walk up and tell a woman, and this had happened, Carol did it. The Lord told me, you're trying to have a baby, aren't you? Yeah. Well, you're already pregnant before she even told anybody yet. Now, let me tell you something. You need the gift of faith before you tell a woman that she's pregnant. Have you ever done that? Oh, when's the baby due? I'm not pregnant, you jerk. What, do I look pregnant? What am I that? Do I look fat? What is all? What are you trying to say to me? If you only do that one once, man. So, you can't manufacture healings connected to it. The gift, now notice this. Look at it with me there in verse 9, not the fourth gift. Gifts, plural, of healings, plural. Do you see it? Not gift, singular, of healing, singular. I'm explaining this to you. It's right behind the gift of faith. It's also, I want you to see that it's spoken of in plural. So Paul does not say gift of healing in the singular, because I'll tell you why. I have heard people, this gift messes people up more probably than almost as much as the gift of tongues freaks people out. So have you ever heard of that? I have the gift of healing. It's my gift. I can exercise it whenever I want to. That usually someone's name is attached to it. Come and see Pastor Rob, the healer, with the gift of healing. Come one, come all, he's healing everybody today. Healing service, Pastor Rob. You know, usually it's attached to someone's name. You know what? I challenge you, go through the Bible. Do you ever see Jesus setting up a healing service? He did healing as he was teaching the word. He would then say, you know what? Well, bring me your sick people. I'm going to heal them right now. You don't see, come see Jesus the Messiah, you know, doing healings today only, right? You don't see Peter or James or John or any of the disciples doing healing services. They were out and about doing the work of ministry and divinely doing healings as the gifts were being enacted. It's people that touch this one that really make a mess, you see? It really makes a mess. So it's gifts, healings, different ways, different situations, different people, so that no one could box it and package it and try to sell it to someone else. I'll tell you what, I saw, and unfortunately, and I don't mean to negatively speak against it, but unfortunately the Pentecostal groups usually have been the ones to, you know, to kind of detract from this. We went to, I had a friend of mine that was a, you know, very charismatic Pentecostal guy, and he invited us to a healing service with this guy that came that had the gift of healing. I was a younger believer then. I didn't notice that, wait a minute, it says gifts of healings. That's actually not biblical. And his name was on the, you know, the church, big banner as you came in. And they did a service where it was a wild service, boy. You know, everybody going crazy during the service. One lady was running around doing laps around the auditorium carrying a banner. So anyway, there was a girl there. We met her beforehand. She's probably like in the neighborhood of 7, 8 years old, blind. Came there. Mom brought her there to see. This guy has the gift. He's going to heal my daughter. So he was doing, you know, line of people coming up. He was praying for different things. You know, I had the flu. I had this, you know, different things. Really no way to prove any of them. And this little girl gets out of her chair. Everybody walks her up. And I'm telling you, you could have heard a pin drop as everybody watched her walk up. She walks up to the front. I looked at her. I looked up at this guy. And there was a serious look of panic and fear in his face. So he brings her up. He lays hands on her. He starts praying. Goes, you know, big, long, drawn-out thing, prays for her. Nothing happened. He turns her around, sends her back, and as she was literally walking back to her chair, he said, unfortunately, she doesn't have enough faith to be healed. I had the same reaction. That's when Mariana said, okay, we're out of here. But you see, that's what happens when man touches the gifts. That's what happens when you try to capitalize and say, I have it. I possess it. No, it's a gift that God gives in a given moment for specific purposes, not to draw attention to the giver or to the receiver of the gift. That's how it gets messed up. That's when people look at that and say, fine, then I just don't believe in healing. I don't believe in that stuff if that's the way it's going to work. That little 7-year-old girl probably crushed for the rest of her life. See, we look at those kind of things, and we think, then it must not be for today. But that's not true, because then we throw the beautiful gifts of God out, and Satan goes, yeah, throw it out. Get rid of it. That's right. Don't believe in this stuff. And honestly, we need these gifts. The gifts are beautiful. I have not ever seen anyone heal everyone that they pray for. I think this is a rare gift, honestly. I think it's a very rare gift. I personally do not have it. And I can tell you why. We'll get to that next week. You know, but you know what? Here's the deal. I still pray for people. I still anoint them with oil. I still do what James tells us to do. And I think we need to do that. And we leave the healing up to the Lord. We do our part and we let God work it out. We're not supposed to work it all up and say, okay, let's pray harder, you know, and get frantic here. I mean, honestly, I think God looks at that and says, what are you guys doing? I'm the guy that does the healing. You don't need to do all that hoopla stuff. So when God heals, he heals completely. So do I believe that the gift is for today? Yes, I do. Many of you guys, you know Pastor Pete Malinger from Calvary Chapel El Centro. His group comes with us to our men's retreat. I haven't got to tell you guys this. So at the men's retreat, he tells me, he goes, Rob, you know what? I need you to pray for me, man, because I was just diagnosed this week with prostate cancer. I said, are you serious, Pete? You know, tears come down. And he goes, yeah, it's crazy, you know. Well, during the afterglow, Pete was standing kind of in front of me. I'm up on the stage, and I said, Pete, why don't you come up here for a minute? I just quietly did it because everybody else was doing ministry. I grabbed a couple of other pastors. I said, let's pray for Pete. So we take him off to the side. We're on the stage, and we just laid our hands on. We anointed him with oil. We start praying for him. So cool, you guys. We each one of us prayed, and then all of a sudden, we finish. I open my eyes, and probably 30 or 40 of his guys from El Centro had come up onto the stage. They saw us praying for their pastor. They came up onto the stage, and they were all kind of like, you know, stretched out, leaning towards him, listening to the prayers. He sends me an email, like I think it was maybe within a few weeks after he had gotten home, and he goes, Rob, you're never going to believe this. This is so crazy. I got home. I had to go back for another test, another biopsy. The doctor pulls me into his office, and he goes, Pete, I'm puzzled. Okay, here's the test that we did a month ago, and here's the test that we just did now. You don't have prostate cancer anymore. Do I believe in the healings? Yes. You know what's so amazing? Whose prayer was it? There was 40 guys on that stage. None of us could take credit. If it would have just been me, well, Pete, why does this surprise you, bro? You see what I'm saying? Dude, don't you know what these hands are made of? Instead, it was like 40 of us guys. So we have to give God the glory, because not one of us was the one that said, oh, it was my prayer. No, it was mine. It was mine. We get in a big fight. The gift of healings, usually faith accompanies it, because you need that kind of faith to see those kind of things happen. Listen, I believe in miracles. I asked for 7 years. I said, God, you could heal me. I know you can, of my disease. I didn't get healed like that. I didn't get a supernatural, miraculous healing. Instead, I had to have a crazy surgery that I got gutted like a fish. So in the end, I kind of went, well, Lord, you didn't heal me like I've seen you heal others. Got a friend of mine that has Crohn's disease. God healed him. Mine's not as bad as his. But you could heal. You know what I'm saying? Ever been there? But here's what I learned. God says, no, Rob, I'm not going to heal you that way. I want you to go through this surgery. And even after the surgery, you're going to have difficulties. You're going to have all kinds of different problems as a result of the surgery. And here's what I learned, you guys, that sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. He didn't heal me in that way. I've been healed. Listen, disease is gone, but I had to go through it a different route. But I learned something. That God said, Rob, I want you to learn another lesson, to trust me no matter what. I want you to know, Rob, that I love you. I have put you in the palm of my hand. And I mean, I'm thinking, God, you are all powerful. You could have stopped this disease. You have the ability to heal me. but he chose not to. So will I trust him in spite of that? I learned to. I had to learn that, God, you love me, and no matter what's going on in my life, if anything difficult happens to me, it has to go through your fingers to get to me. And you've allowed it, but I know you love me, and so therefore I will trust you. So you see, guys, sometimes the lesson is not in the miracle of the healing. Sometimes it's a different way to get to the healing, but you learn to trust God. And everything has to be founded on one simple thing. Do you believe that God loves you? You have to believe that. We have to know that, because from that place, everything else happens. You see? Everything else happens. Pastor Chuck said it this way: the lack of miraculous healing today lies more in the failure of our faith, man's faith, than in the reluctance of a compassionate God to meet his children's needs. The reason we don't see much healing today is our general skepticism. Lord, I know you can, but I don't know if you will. But even then, it's not about our faith. It's about God doing his work. Does that make sense? Do you believe that he loves you? That's what he's going to teach us. Amen? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing truth, for your amazing word that you've given to us, the gifts that you want to impart to us so that we can be more equipped for the work of ministry. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today that if they've never experienced the baptism, that all they got to do is ask. But I'm aware, Lord, there may be somebody here today that hasn't even taken the step of faith to put their life in your hands. If you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, what are you waiting for? You can't experience any of these things until your sin is forgiven by putting your faith in Jesus. Why not do it where you sit? All you got to do is ask. Lord, for some of us, we need these gifts where we work, with our families, in our ministries. May you bring them to life in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.